one thing thou lackest. You remember that Jesus addressed these words to a very respectable young fellow who came to him one day. The story is recorded in Mark chapter 10. And the words I've quoted are in verse 21. One thing thou lackest. These pointed words were addressed by our Lord to an enthusiastic young fellow that came to him running one day and kneeled before him and said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Here was a young fellow that was full of zeal and full of religion and full of self-confidence. He was going to produce if the Lord would just tell him what to do. He said, "I want eternal life. I really want it. I'm interested in it. And I want you to tell me what I can do to have it. I'm ready. My sleeves are rolled up. I'm ready to go to work." Of course, he was horribly unaware of the fact that he was impotent and that he could not produce, that his heart was sinful, that his hands were stained in spite of all his respectability, and that salvation is not by doing on the part of a lost and sinning creature. It's on the part, it has to be produced by someone else. And that salvation then is not by the creature paying his own freight, as it were, and working his own passage, because he's impotent to do so. The fact is that he's morally bankrupt, and the debt is far too much beyond him. And so the Lord said to him, "One thing thou lackest." You know, we can have many, many, many things in life and be provided pretty well, and yet lack the essential thing. You may have heard the story of the ignorant boatman who was rowing a very learned professor in his rowboat across a turbulent river. On the way over, they became engaged in conversation, and the very intellectual and rather conceited professor said to the ignorant boatman, "Say, do you know astronomy?" "Oh, no," said the man as he plied his oars. "I don't know astronomy." "Oh," said the man with a kind of an airy attitude. "No astronomy? Oh, my man, a quarter of your life is gone. How about geology?" "No," said the boatman, "I don't know anything about geology either. I wish I did, but I don't." Said his friend, who was sitting confidently in the rear of the boat, "Why, half of your life is gone, mister." "How about mathematics?" "No," said the man, I don't know mathematics either." "Oh," said the other, "then three quarters of your life is gone. You don't know these sciences?" But just then, a turbulent wave hit the boat and threw them both in the water. And the boatman shouted to the professor, he said, "You know how to swim?" "No," said the professor, I don't know how to swim." "Then," said the boatman, "then all of your life is gone." "Sure, one can know, my friends, all the sciences, and yet if he doesn't know how to swim when he's thrown into a turbulent river, he's certainly in very dire danger of drowning. And you can say to him, 'One thing thou lackest,' and in lacking the knowledge of how to swim, he lacked the essential thing. A person can be equipped in many, many ways, but if he lacks the knowledge of his need and lacks the knowledge of Christ the Lord who died to meet that need, then, my friends, he lacks the essential thing. What water is to the shipwrecked? What food is to the famished? What a ticket is to a traveler? What health is for the dying? So is salvation for those who are outside of Jesus Christ. One thing thou lackest." This young man of the story of Mark chapter 10 had many, many excellent assets. Many excellent assets. He had enthusiasm. He had his health, apparently, because he ran to Jesus. He had piety and religion and all that kind of thing. He knew the law of Moses. He could quote it glibly, just like many today can quote the scriptures, roll the text off their tongue. And yet, my friends, good and valuable as all these things are, no question about it, I'm not, my friends, in any way downgrading these things, but I say they're no substitute for God's salvation. They're no substitute for a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For after all, salvation has to do not only with time, it has to do with eternity, it has to do with God, it has to do with the removal of our guilt, it has to do with our in our being children of God and heirs of glory, and so that God can righteously take us home to be with himself. If we don't have this, then the words of the Lord are so applicable. One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. If I go into a store of any kind and I spy something that I want and I really need it, and I reach into my pocket and I find I have no money, then, my friends, I lack the essential thing. And if I look down into my heart today and I find no Christ, no Savior, then the words of the text apply. One thing thou lackest. I trust today that each of us has received God's Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only one who can meet our need. And Peter says in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.